fact that God has such relentless love for us.
Wow.
In spite of when we mess up. Boy, and I mess up all the time. I'll be the first to admit that. In fact, I messed up yesterday with one of my kids. I'm praying that they will accept my forgiveness for that. But God is relentless coming after us with his amazing love and his grace. That's just a beautiful promise right out of Scripture. It's 9 minutes past the hour. This is Bill Meyer, and joining me is author, speaker, and evangelical culture changer Gabe Lyons. He's the founder of Q Ideas and the Q Conferences. Gabe, welcome to Faith Radio.
Hey, Bill. Great to be with you this morning.
Oh, thank you so much for making time this early Tuesday. I know you are so passionate about teaching Christians how to engage the 21st century culture, and you really believe strongly in doing it in a very creative way. One of your conferences coming up next week across the country, it's going to be telecast to a church in the Twin Cities. And give us just a bit of background, if you would, on both Q Ideas and the Q Conferences.
Yeah, Bill, well, Chuck Colson was a mentor of mine, and one of the things that I remember him saying that just jumped off the page to me in one of his books back when I was 26 years old was this. He said, Christians are called to redeem entire cultures, not only individuals. And he was kind of getting at this idea that there's a cultural mandate along with the Great Commission that we're responsible for as Christians, which led me down this path to begin something called Q. Q, the letter simply stands for question, and we create events that really help Christians start to understand what are the biggest questions being asked today in our culture, and how can we responsibly and thoughtfully engage those questions with good answers. We think the gospel and the good news has something to say about really any situation taking place in our world right now. And so Q creates these events that we'll have there next Thursday evening that will actually help people explore that and start to understand what does it mean to be a Christian in the 21st century today.
How many years have you been doing this now, Gabe?
Well, Q's been going for a decade, but this particular event we're doing called Q Commons, only 2 years now. And that's an event where we'll have 75 cities around the U.S., as well as about 10 that are happening internationally, come together on one evening to hear three different talks that are coming that we're broadcasting to every one of these cities that evening, combined with three local talks. And these are like 9-minute talks that are taking place. They're short. It's almost like people compare it a lot to TED and how TED has these talks that are short, they're timed, but they really focus our presenters to engage what's happening in their local community and how can Christians start to get their hands dirty, engaging some of the problems in our world, as well as be inspired that we as Christians, while we might be feeling some of the pressure today that being a Christian in America is changing a bit, how can we have confidence? How can we walk forward in that with joy and hope and help engage people's curiosity?
I love it. So let me ask you this question. If you could get the leaders of all the major evangelical denominations and the leaders of all the major evangelical seminaries in one room, what would you tell them?
Wow. I mean, that's a great question, Bill. I think I would encourage them. I think I would help them remind them that we as the church have gone through so many different moments historically. You just look back over the 2,000-year history of the church and to understand that we are at our best when we're not comfortable, when we're feeling a bit of pressure culturally, when we don't have total control or power of where the world's going, but we find ourselves like people in the New Testament. I mean, you realize the New Testament was written to a persecuted minority. That is the entire context for the New Testament. And yet in American life, it feels like we've gotten very comfortable being Christian, people understanding a little bit about what it means to be Christian, kind of respecting that. And now we find ourselves in a moment where now almost half of Americans think that people of faith are part of the problem in our culture. And so a lot of evangelicals and leaders they're not familiar with that. We're not familiar with that feeling. And so I would encourage them, instead of reacting in fear, this is our moment. This is our moment to be on mission, to lead with love, to really engage our communities and the questions people have with a lot of grace, but also thoughtfulness and carefulness, and the next generation included, and that we shouldn't shrink back from that, but we should walk forward and be confident that our faith does have something to say. It has something especially to offer in a moment where a lot of people hate religion and think that religion and church and all of these things have contributed to more of the problems than the solutions.
You know, that was a very graceful answer. I think if I had all the leaders of the major denominations in one room, I'd probably knock them upside the head. But I am just curious to know, I'm guessing, as gracious as you were there, that you might have something to say about things like groupthink and having kind of a silo mentality. So if you were to gently, you talked about, you know, being very encouraging, and I appreciate that. But if you were to gently challenge those leaders about maybe the way things have always been done, what would you say to them?
Well, I think if I were challenging them and trying to, I guess, admonish or say, hey, here's some areas in which we must do better. Probably the first one would be to say, hey, the protest is over. You know, number one, like Protestantism, which is now about to hit its 500-year birthday, has created so many splits amongst Christians that we hardly recognize the splits anymore or even know what they were there to start with. And of course, Jesus says to us, they'll know us by our love. So my first thing would be, we must be more unified. We must come together around the essentials of the gospel and what is true and what scripture tells us, and find one another again and work together and partner together. The second thing that I would say is we've done a horrible job in the last several decades of truly developing disciples. We've created a comfortable Christianity where people feel right at home, not really denying themselves anything, not having to sacrifice much, just showing up at church and singing songs and believing that this is enough. This is what it means to be Christian. And part of that responsibility is on the leaders of the church, these teachers and pastors and people who, you know, Paul says to us in the New Testament, you know, he says, look, you have 10,000 teachers, but you have no fathers. And the church right now desperately needs fathers. We need people who can point out to a person that's in your care, that you're shepherding, where sin abounds and where they're walking off the wrong track, or the wolf that's sort of lurking in the shadows that's about to jump out, you know, and take one of their sheep. I mean, we've got to step up and be bold. It doesn't mean we have to be mean. It doesn't mean we have to be condemning, but we must be bold and have faith that what the Bible says is true, even when our cultural lens start pushing against that and tempt us to think maybe we've been wrong. Maybe we're missing something here. And the point is, no, we're not missing anything. When you look at church history, these winds of change and culture are always happening. And we don't have to look much further back than Daniel and Babylon to start to understand what does it look like for a Christian to try to live in a culture that's very cosmopolitan, intellectual, smart, philosophical, loves the art, loves all of that. And what does it mean, though, to live in that and have practices in your life that start to ground you in Christ so that you can contend with what's happening on a daily basis?
Wow. Great, great response. We're talking to Gabe Lyons, and the Big Q Conference is coming up next weekend all over the country, being telecast, including to a church here in the Twin Cities where Faith Radio is based. We're going to take a quick break here on the Faith Radio Network and have more with Gabe and talk about the new book that he and Greg Kinnaman are coming out with shortly, up next on the Faith Radio Network. Worship to get you started on your Tuesday morning. It's 20 minutes past the hour. I'm Bill Meyer. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm talking to Gabe Lyons. He's the founder of Q Ideas and the Q Conferences, one of those conferences happening across the country next week and going to be simulcast to many, many churches, including one here in the Twin Cities. Gabe, if I attend a Q Conference telecast, what will I experience there?
Yeah, so these are two-hour evenings really curated specifically for each community. So there, I know at City Church in Minneapolis, you're going to hear three different things that we're going to be doing across the country and around the world. We have David Kinnaman, president of the Barna Group, sharing the latest data over the last year that they've been working on that starts to understand how Americans feel about faith. And essentially, they feel like, hey, faith's irrelevant. in my life. It's something we were talking about just a little bit earlier. And how do we as Christians engage that sort of attitude, that kind of cynicism right now? We're going to have Andy Crouch. He's an author, one of the editors from Christianity Today. He has a new book coming out called Strong and Weak. And Andy's just an incredible presenter. He's so thoughtful and such a leader for Christians and evangelicals to understand culture. And he's talking about leading in a skeptical culture. So what should we be looking for in our leaders? I mean, I think about the presidential election. This next Thursday will be just after Super Tuesday, and there's a lot going on as we think about what does a leader look like in our country? How do we think about leadership in our churches, in our communities, and who will lead? Because people are skeptical now of political leaders. They're skeptical of pastors. There's a real need for the average Christian to step up and be those kind of leaders. We're doing a panel that everybody will hear with Eugene Cho, who's talking about the refugee crisis and what does it mean for us in America specifically to welcome immigrants and refugees. We have Julie Mavis out of Colorado who's done amazing work on the foster care problem in their state, and she's been literally able to help turn the tide from children waiting for families to now families waiting for children. We have Precious Jones, who's a leader in the mentoring movement out of Cincinnati, who's doing a ton of great work to just help children who don't always have mentors in their life. And then I know locally in Minneapolis specifically, there's going to be three talks. One that's specifically on the refugee crisis. What is it looking like right there in your city? How can people get engaged? And also Laurel Bunker coming from Bethel, who's talking about the 2016 election and how can our faith inform how we think about politics. And then another gentleman named Chad Schwitters, who's a founder of Urban Homeworks. And that's just a really cool story of somebody who's been engaged in your community for years. And so that happens in all these different locations. We have three different local talks taking place along with three national talks, and listeners can go to qcommons.com. And for your area, they would just go to qcommons.com/Minneapolis, and they can see all about that event and get registered. Or if they're in another part of the country, they can just go to qcommons.com and find their city.
That's very cool. You mentioned Julie Mavis in Colorado. I worked for Focus on the Family for about 10 years. And, of course, Jim Daly, the president of Focus, very involved in that whole foster care solution in Colorado and their orphan care initiative. And it's so exciting to see Christians, individual Christians, families and churches step up to the plate to try to solve this this huge issue of kids languishing in foster care, being moved from one home to another. And I know when I talked to Jim about what had happened in Colorado, it was like, wow, what a great model that would be for the rest of the nation. So very cool that Julie will be speaking on that topic. Now, go ahead. I was going to ask you one question about you and David Kinnaman. You wrote a groundbreaking book a few years ago called Unchristian, which shook up a lot of people. Tell us, for those listeners, Faith Lit Radio listeners that aren't familiar with that, tell us the basic premise of that book.
Well, 9 years ago, Bill, we released a book that laid out research we had been working out over the last the 2 years before that on what 16 to 29-year-olds thought about Christians. Like, what did they think of when you walked into a room and announced you're a Christian? And if you were 20 years old or going to college or high school, what are the feelings that come back on that and why? And so it really laid out and I think helped a lot of churches start wrestling with reality that people view Christians as self-righteous, that we'd become hypocritical, judgmental, too political, you know, only interested in proselytizing people, not really caring for them. And so the book started to lay out all of those different challenges we have, but tried to, in a loving and thoughtful way, say we can do better. We need to confess where we've not been living out what Christ has called us to, where we've become religious and self-righteous, and get back to the basics of what it means to be Christian. And that was a very, you know, well-received message to a difficult thing for Christians to hear. But we've been blown away by how many churches and organizations embraced that and took it very seriously and started to change and reprioritize how they were engaging the next generation.
Now, how much of that perception or misperception in some cases can we blame? Obviously, we can blame plenty of it on ourselves and our own behavior. But how much of it can be blamed on a mass media that, for the most part, is not real friendly to evangelical Christianity?
Well, certainly media influences so much, and it's hard to measure the influence of media. I mean, researchers will tell you you have to build in a media bias, because we just, you know, no one will acknowledge that the media influences them. And yet we all know how much it influences our opinions, shapes the way we think about things. In that particular study, though, what was interesting is talking to these 16 to 29 year olds, the vast majority of them had five friends that claimed to be Christian in their life. And so in a lot of their responses and what they were thinking about, they weren't just relating it to just some idea of Christians. They were talking about real people, experiences they'd had in church, interactions they'd had with friends and youth groups and so on and so forth. And so it certainly is there, always is there, but it's not enough to write off and not take seriously what we were hearing back from these people.
Mm, and so sad. You have a new book coming out with David. The title is Good Faith, Being a Christian When Society Thinks You're Irrelevant and Extreme. very hot button issue and great title. How have things changed since you wrote Unchristian? Do you believe they've changed at all for the better, or are they actually worse since the research was done for the earlier book?
Well, you know, Bill, it's like a double-sided coin. I mean, on the one hand, things have gotten worse. I mean, and when I say worse, I mean, for Christians, it's gotten a bit worse in our culture, because there's less understanding of who we are. We're having to work a little bit harder to try to persuade people and help them understand what the Christian faith is. There is a pressure, in a sense, from our culture that if you just believe basic orthodox ideas, and this is what we really lay out in the book, you are now an extremist. I mean, that word is not just thrown around to talk about ISIS or Boko Haram or these awful people who will kill people in the name of religion. No, now in America, if you believe in basics about marriage, for example, that marriage should be between a man and a woman, you are extreme. And there's a term that goes with it, a social extremist, that people just write us off as Christians because we hold to basic beliefs. And so in that sense, yeah, it's going to be a little bit harder for Christians to be Christian because it's not as comfortable. But as we talked about earlier, the flip side of that coin is we're seeing the church over the last decade start to really take seriously what we believe, and that we are having to live this out. This can't just be about words. It's also about action. And so there are so many stories of churches who are engaging in a beautiful way in their communities, and they've earned credibility. So while they're feeling this sense that they're no longer the majority, you know, and they're in a place now of a minority that's feeling some pressure in American life, that there's hope in that, because there's mission to be done and there's an opportunity for God to use it. I mean, you realize 25% of Americans are evangelicals, like practicing Christians. It's not 75%. It's like 1 in 4 people in America believe what we believe seriously, take it seriously in their life, and try to practice it. And so we've never really been part of the majority. It just kind of felt like that. I think now we're starting to recognize the nominal Christians, those who didn't take it that seriously, are just no longer associating with Christianity. And it's going to be an opportunity for the church to shine. And we encourage people in this book that our best days are ahead, and how to engage probably some of the most difficult conversations they're going to have with their children, neighbors, coworkers, around sexuality, religious liberty, race, so many topics that are all over the news waves today. That's going to be the conversations they need to be prepared to have.
Well, the title is Good Faith, Being a Christian When Society Thinks You're Irrelevant and Extreme. The book is being released next week by Gabe Lyons and David Kinnaman. Gabe, thanks so much for your time. If I could ask you, I'd love to have you back on this program again. You've really challenged us, made us think, and appreciate you so much. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Bill. Love to be back anytime.
All right. Gabe Lyons here, our guest on the Faith Radio Network.